Good morning, boys and girls. Can you tell me what's tomorrow? What special day is tomorrow?
Mother's Day.
Did you know that no matter where you live, whether you're in America or the other side of the world, what do we all have in common? We all had a mother. Yeah, sometimes it's a different mother than we're with now. But we all have had a mother that brought us into this world. I'm going to read you a poem today. I don't usually read to you. I usually tell you a story. And you'll find that the words on the end kind of match, because it's going to talk about that, okay? It's called Somebody's Mother. The woman was old and ragged and gray and bent with the chill of a winter's day. The street was wet with recent snow, and the woman's feet were aged and slow. She stood at the crossing and waited long, alone, uncared for, amid the throng. What is a throng? Anybody know? That's a big group of people. Okay? That makes sense? Okay. Of human beings who passed her by, nor needed the glance of her anxious, or heeded the glance of her anxious eye. Down the street with laugh and shout, glad in the freedom, school is out, came the boys like a flock of sheep, hailing the snow piled white and deep. Past the woman so old and gray, hastened the children on their way, nor offered a helping hand to her, so meek, so timid, afraid to stir, lest the carriage wheels or the horse's feet should crowd her down in the slippery street. Do we ride in carriages nowadays?
No.
So what is it talking about? It is talking about people a long time ago. What do we drive now? How do we get to church? A car, that's right. So was she afraid to cross the street because of maybe all the cars nowadays? At last came the merry troop, a gayest laddie of all the group. Anybody know what a laddie is? It's a boy, a young boy. They used to call him, and if you go over to England nowadays, they're still going to call him
a lad.
Yes, they speak a little different. So it's a young boy. He paused beside her and whispered low, "I'll help you across if you wish to go." Her aged hand on his strong young arm she placed, and so without hurt or harm, he guided the trembling feet along, proud that his own were firm and strong. Then back again to his friends he went, his young heart happy and well content. Somebody's mother, boys, you know, for all that she's aged and poor and slow. I hope some fellow will lend a hand to help my mother, you understand. If she's ever poor and old and gray, and when your own dear boy is far away, and somebody's mother bowed low her head. In her home that night, and the prayer she said was, God be kind to that noble boy who is somebody's son and a pride and joy. So what did this young man do that the other boys didn't do for this woman? They helped her. Did it cost them a lot of money? What did it cost them? Did it cost them some time? Maybe would the other boys maybe have made fun of him? It's possible. But what did he tell them? He said, that woman is what? Somebody's mother. Somebody's mother. Okay? So tomorrow's going to be Mother's Day. And we're going to have somebody talk to us a little bit about what we can do for Mother's Day. And we're going to hand out some sheets. And then also we're going to have some flowers. And we will have the women in the congregation stand at that point.
Good morning, boys and girls. Does everybody here have a mother? Everybody has a mother? Everybody has a mother? You know what? I have a mother too. She's older than me. Real old. She's 94 years old. You know, and she still gets out and about, and so now, are you going to give your mom a Mother's Day card? What does it say in the Mother's Day card? I love you. You're so dear, Mom. You're so precious. You know, things like that. But also, what she's really looking forward to. For you to make your beds. For you to clean your room. To be of some help in the house. Without being asked. Being there to help in the kitchen if she needs it. You know? And that gives you a warm feeling inside, don't it? Yes, it does. Okay. So, you know, God really likes you to be, you know, He likes to be loved, so He wants you also to pass on that warmness, that kindness to your moms, and also the grandmoms, too. Okay, so we must love one another, and starting with our moms, okay? Now, there's a verse in Proverbs 1:8, it says, do not forsake your mother's teaching. What does forsake mean? Children, what does forsake mean? It means disregard, to push aside, to pay no attention to. We can't do that. Okay? We have to pay attention to the mothers. Okay? Okay? I want to see your heads going up and down. You agree? Yes, that's what I want to see. Just like the dog in the back window. Yes. Okay. Okay, can all the mothers please stand? And women, please stand. And then after they're going to come back? And after you've taken out the flowers, make sure you come back because we've got something to give you. Look, we've got something to give you, okay? Hi. How are you? Okay.
Standing, they'll be standing.
Yeah. Here we go. There we go, yes. Yes. Here, give this a tear. There we go. Once you've given the flowers to the ladies, please come back. You want to? Well, yeah. Well, no. Okay.
Wait.
Okay, give it to another one. Find the ladies out there. You go ahead. There we go. Children, you're doing a good job. Good job. Do it with a smile, okay? Okay, do all the ladies have a flower? Mark, you want to? No? Ah. There we go. Yeah. Go out. Got to give it to somebody. Yeah, go right here. That's all right. Go on. Go give it to someone.
These
are here. Here you go. How's that? Okay. We have two. Well, then, here. That's your flower. Okay. We'll put that one right there for the moment. Okay, yeah, hold on to it. Yeah.
Okay, you
now you have a coloring picture. Here, let me give you. If you don't like the picture in there, you can always cut the picture out of the lady and put a picture of Mom. Make sure you color the flowers. Okay. There you go. Remember, you can just color all these flowers. And then put a picture of Mom there. Okay? We're about to run out. Yes. Come here. Okay. Sit down. Okay, children. We're going to close with a quick word of prayer.
Kama sisi nawe tume kwali kutukosea, usitutie majaribuni, takuwa mfano na nguvu na utukufu hata milele. Amen.
And all the people say, Amen. Amen.
Can you come over tomorrow?
Good morning. Wait a minute, are we asleep? Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, that's better. Happy Sabbath. We're going to be reciting. This is our Bible memorization class, and we're going to be reciting Hebrews 29 through 12, too. Hope you're blessed as we've been blessed. By faith, they... By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians in sailing to do were drowned.
30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after being compressed for about 7 days.
By faith, the heart of Rahab heard not when them that believed her, for she had received the spies with peace.
For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of
Barak
and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and of Samuel and of the prophets.
Amen.
Through faith, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions,
quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens.
Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might receive a better resurrection.
Others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment.
They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented.
Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in the deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth.
And these all have obtained a good report through faith, not receiving the promise.
God has provided something better for us, that they that before us could not be made perfect.
Starting Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand throne of God.
Amen. Amen.
Well, thank you guys. These verses have been such a blessing for me.
When God led me to choose these verses, he already knew what I was going to go through. And they have been such a help for me. And it is a blessing to have these memory verses in our minds. My mother even started memorizing verses. And she would wake up in the middle of the night and she'd say she'd be thinking about her verses.
Amen.
I said, Mom, that is so good because that means you're thinking about God.
Amen.
And that's what he wants us to do, to always have him on his mind. So, it is a blessing. Again, our class is going to start again, and we're going to start a new unit tonight. And I encourage everyone to come out because it is such a blessing. We never, God knows what we're going to go through, and he's preparing us. And I can see it in this faith that he has given me to prepare me for what I've been through.
Amen.
Hello? I invite you, all of you who would like to come forward with your prayer request, or come and join me in worship.
I cast all my cares upon you. I lay all my burdens down at your feet. Anytime I don't know what to do,
Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, we thank you that we can come to you, wretched as we are, because of Jesus. We come to you, Lord, with our request, knowing that you are the only one that can answer accordingly. We pray, Lord, that the request that we have here, thou only knows how to answer it. So we ask that your specialized department be our referral. For those who are seeking medical or health issues, we ask that the great physician will be here to help and guide them. For those, Lord, who are seeking direction in their lives, making business decisions or work, we pray that the counselor will be their guide. And for those, Lord, who are seeking comfort because of pain, suffering, or loss of people, loved ones, we pray that thou would send a comforter. We thank you, Lord, that we can come to you with all this request because of Jesus. In our struggle, Lord, with daily problems, with the weakness of the flesh, and we can exclaim, like Paul, who can deliver me from this wretched body of sin? We pray, Lord, that we may walk in the newness of life because of thy Spirit. Lord, we pray a special blessing on all the mothers today, that thou will give them wisdom, health, and knowledge in guiding their family, in the household, and all their children. Bless them, we pray richly this day. For we pray, Lord, that thou now knowest that mothers are a blessing to all of us in this world. And as we face this coming week, we have the assurance and your promise that your compassion and mercies never fail because of your great faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
In the oncology ward of a large Michigan hospital, a cancer patient seemed at one point was going downhill. But then her condition rallied and improved sufficiently where she was able to be discharged. But what she didn't know was that there was a nasty surprise awaiting her upon her return. Her children, thinking that she was never going to return home, have cleaned out all the furniture, sold all her belongings, and divided the money between themselves. And just imagine when she walked into the empty apartment, her sense of cruel devastation as she looked into the empty room. Now, human avarice is a cruel, terrible thing, and the world is full of it. But in contrast, generosity is a reflection of Christ's character, and it is a blessing to everyone. And Jesus is our perfect example as we aspire to be generous, to be caring and to be unselfish towards those around us. God has entrusted us with means whereby we could help sustain our families and those around us, and also for the advancement of his wonderful soul-saving work. Today, we are privileged to be able to contribute toward the world budget to be used for relief and for famine and disaster relief. So let us thoughtfully consider the countless blessings that we receive day to day, day after day, and that so that we can return our thanksgiving generously and cheerfully. And the deacon may come forward. Dear Lord, we are humbled to return this meager offering in light of all that you have done and you have given to us. But then we know you can do great things for this collection today, just like how you multiply the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. In Christ's name we ask, amen.
If you'd like to turn to your Bible to John 17, and I'll be reading from verses 25 and 26. I'm reading from the NIV version. John 17, verses 25 and 26. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them.
For you and me. Are you amazed by the power of God? Have you not been blessed? As Mari would say, have you not been blessed? You know, Pastor is away at his visiting his mother, and he had to leave suddenly. And I was, I volunteered. And when the elders came together, who's going to preach this Sabbath? And I volunteered. And I was planning on preaching just a regular sermon until it dawned on me what tomorrow is. And some of you mothers with children here today will hear what I have to say. When I was pastoring and preaching, I thought my wife heard everything I said in the sermon. I think sometimes I was terminated so I can see the eyes through the eyes of a mother during a sermon. Because mothers don't hear very much during the sermon. But I want, hopefully, the children out there could pause for a little bit and let your mother hear this. This office that God has called, not just for those that have children, but the women in the church that are mothers of Israel as well. There is no higher office than the mother. And before I got into anything, I wanted that to be heard. So let us bow our heads for prayer now. Heavenly Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit be with us. Calm our hearts. Focus on the message that the Holy Spirit has for us. For Lord, you have not just given me a message about mothers, but you have given me a message that we all need to hear. In your name, Jesus Christ, amen. Now, one thing about the highest office of a mother, I never really knew. Maybe some of you have not had the best example of a mother. Maybe some of you have missed out on that. But when I was married to Esther, my wife, and we had children, I saw something that I've never seen before. And that is not just for mothers, but it is in the reach for all of the women present here and those that are listening. And that is a determination. That is a presence of mind of the people around you. I've never seen a woman so dedicated to their children, to the people that they are involved with. My wife has, only on the dates that we've gone on, and even then, sometimes the children come along then, been away from our children. And I've told her a couple times, you know, maybe I'll take the children and we'll go out, you know, to my friends or, you know, go visit somebody. And she's, no, you're not going to take my children away from me. The determination that a mother has. But I want you, if you have not had that presence, there's a text for you. And it's in Psalm 27, verse 10, but I'll get there. Verse 6 says, "And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me." So the psalmist here is looking up and he sees all of his enemies around him. He says, "Therefore I will offer in this tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not. Neither forsake me." And thank you, Thomas, for elaborating on what the word forsake means. I did not tell him to do that. Lord ordained. O God of my salvation, in verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. The Lord will take you up. You know, there are many pains in this world, struggles, strifes, and sometimes we may not think that our parents are there for us. And I'm speaking to you children that are out there. Some of you, when you are disciplined, don't care for that. And some of you may have said, and maybe as adults here, we recall a certain point in our lives when we've said this to our mother, "You don't love me." David, or the psalmist, it's actually not David, it's the chief musician, says here, if we have forgotten the name, in chapter 44 of the Psalms, says in verse 20, "If we have forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart." And I tell you, mothers, they're not divine, but they know quite a bit about us. "Yea, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter." Awake! The psalmist here is saying, awake to the Lord. "Awake! Why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. Wherefore hidest thou face and forgettest our affliction and our oppression?" Do we not feel that sometimes in our afflictions, in our disciplines, our corrections, we may have felt our parents are not really there for us, or that our dad, or our Father in heaven, Jesus, is not really there for us? But you know, they are here to encourage us. Just like in Philippians 4:13 that Paul says about Christ, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Christ is an encourager, and so is our mother. Our mothers are great encouragers. They may tell us straight and the truth in unmixed with wrath, but they encourage us. And the next verse as well, which has become, and I've told many people this, this is my favorite verse now, verse 14 of Philippians 4. Nevertheless, you have done well with me to share with me in my afflictions. At the cross, Jesus was bearing all the sins. And upon the cross, the words came from his mouth, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And as we look at the spirit of prophecy, does it say the Father was not there? No, but he was enshrouded. He could not, Jesus could not see the Father. And so there was a separation. But God the Father was there. Our parents may not always be there, but their teachings. And they are willing, if you just reach out to them, to be there for you and to share with you in your afflictions. They may not always take you out of your afflictions. Jesus loved us so much that he gave his life for us. And there's many women here that have given their lives for the people here today. When I see my wife and all that she does, I go to work for 8 hours and I'm tired. All of us fathers here and men, when we come back from work, we're exhausted. And sometimes we have a tendency to look at our wives who have been all day at home, and we feel as they have not done any work. I've been guilty there. But they have done the greatest work. They have kept our children in line. They have corrected those children. They have taught those children. Even when they may not be sitting still as you are sitting still today. But they give their lives for these children. And they give their lives for the church. Women are the most determined that I have seen in my life. Mrs. Draggett's smiling over there. She went out with, you know, a little help. Not to take away from Dan and Mark. A lot of help. She was going to go out there and plant 2 trees by herself. Strength of a woman. But it can be seen in Christ. And that's where they get their strength. That's where we all get our strength. Is by what Jesus has done for us. And the love that is in us. As was mentioned in the scripture reading, in the prayer that Jesus mentions and gives and lifts up to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, he presents the disciples, but he's not just thinking about the disciples that are going to go through the various things in the next couple hours of his life. But he's also thinking about us. He's also thinking about what we're going to go through. and maybe for some of us here today, what we've already gone through. Like I preach in a funeral sermon, death, pain, misery that we experience was never, ever meant to be felt. Never meant to be carried upon us. He says that the lake of fire was reserved for the devil and his angels. But sadly, there will be others. And believe it or not, each mother tries their best to never see one of them or anybody in that lake of fire. Church members, if you are struggling, there is a mother to cheer you up. There is a woman here that can give you the spiritual strength. Women, if you are wandering around, there is a mother here to give you that strength. Why God created that office. You know we need our mothers. They are the representation of Jesus. We can see Jesus in their eyes and their hard work. They say it's not easy for a man to love. It's definitely, they don't say anything about that when they talk about women. They have a loving character. And it is because Jesus is in their heart. The love that God has for us is right there. It can be easily seen. But why do we often forsake it? We think of it as just a routine, something that is around, just something we take for granted. But those that have lost loved ones know that we cannot take love for granted. I never liked, as a pastor, doing funerals. There's something in a funeral that brings me back to the reality of the great controversy. Something that brings me back to that someone out there wants us to hate. Someone out there wants us to destroy. The devil wants us to be listless. He wants us to be the foolish virgin. He wants us to be the Laodicean. But also, in praise Jesus, we have a God that wants us to live. Love. So don't just look at tomorrow as a day for mothers with children. Because all the women our mothers and have that love. That's why we don't just give roses or the carnations to the women with children. You have an important office. It says here in verse 7, and I close with this, or of 1 John chapter 4. I want to read you a couple verses from this. And let this sink in. And don't just hear it as, oh, I've heard this text before. In a great controversy sense, I want you to feel the impact of these verses. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed that the love that God hath to us, God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Now, as John penned that, can you not hear that coming from your mother? Love your brother. Love your sister. Love one another. So here, in this church, as we think of what Christ did for us, as we think about what our mothers and you women here can do for each other and for this church, and creating the atmosphere of love in him. Our closing song, hymn, "The Savior is Waiting." Don't just sing it. Really feel the words. Listen to the words as you sing it. I would like to invite all the women of the church